Lift your hands up to the Lord and just thank Him right now. Hallelujah. He is our everything. Father, we do thank You in the name of Jesus. Without You, we'd be lost. Without You, we would be defeated. Without You, we wouldn't know the way. Without You, we wouldn't have what we have. We want to thank You right now because You are our everything. We are not so proud to think that we got what we have by ourselves. We acknowledge it was by Your help. It was by Your help that You have given to us what it is that we have. And Father God, who we are, and standing here in Your presence tonight, it is because of the mighty work of Christ on the cross of Calvary that we stand accepted and blessed and chosen and adopted in Your presence, righteous in Your sight, Lord. No condemnation, no shame, no guilt. We thank You for it, Father. We give You the glory and the praise. Thank You for it, Father. We're grateful for what You're doing. Give us hearing ears, minds that are open to the truth, hearts to believe. Father God, thank You, Father, for the truth to be unfolded tonight, that we may be able to run with the truth and walk in victory and make a difference in our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, greet somebody else, and then you can be seated. And at the onset here, I'm going to tell you that I'm as disappointed as you are that Pastor Hagin isn't standing up here. All right. And so, he asked me to fill in for him. And so, I'm not going to try to be like him. I'm just going to be me. All right. And so, you know, we live in a crazy world, don't we? It's kind of, you raise your eyebrows. I mean, some of the stuff that's happening, and you know, we have all the technology now, and some of it's seems pretty invasive. And how many realize? I mean, how many of you can remember back before Facebook? You know, that's getting dimmer and dimmer. One guy said this. He said he was going to try to make friends outside of Facebook while applying the same principles. And so he said every day he walked down the street and he told passerbys what he had eaten, how he felt at the moment, what he did the night before, what he planned to do later and with whom. He also said he would give them pictures of his family, his dog, and of him gardening and taking things apart in his garage, watering the lawn, standing in front of landmarks, driving around town, having lunch, doing what anybody and everybody else does every day. He said, I also listen to their conversations. I give them a thumbs up. And he said, and I tell them that I like them. And he said, it works just like Facebook. He said, I already have 4 people following me, 2 policemen, a detective, and a psychiatrist. We live in a kind of a crazy world. Isn't that right? And so you look around and you know, sometimes you think, man, who's in control? And sometimes if you're not careful, you feel like the rookie pitcher that was kind of shaky and struggling on the mound. And so the catcher finally walked out there to have a talk with him after several games and said, I think I've figured out your problem. And the pitcher's just relieved he's going to get some help here. And the catcher told him, he said, you always lose control at exactly the same point in every game. And the pitcher is just excited he's going to get this problem solved. And he said, well, when do I lose control? And the catcher looked at him with a straight face and said, right after the national anthem. So, you know, sometimes we feel like, you know, we're tempted to feel like this is out of control. But I want you to know something, that there is somebody in control. And that God has given you an assignment. God has given you instructions in His Word on what to do. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. And I've got a message here tonight that I want to give to you, and that is, the title of it is this: How to Get the Devil Off Your Back. How to get the devil off your back. Now, if the devil's on your back, you know that you're out of position. You know that because he should be under your feet. But sometimes, I saw some videos here a while back of somebody playing a prank on somebody, and they came up behind somebody and just jumped right on them, and without them knowing about it, jumped right over them and turned around and had that string cheese, you know, or whatever it is, that string stuff in the can, and just shot his face all full, pulled a prank off of him and took off running. Well, the other guy took off chasing him. Well, I would too. But you know, how to keep the devil off your back. How many of you ever had the devil try to rise up in your life? You know, we know he's not supposed to be under our feet. We know we have the victory. We know that Christ has given us the victory. But how many of you ever woke up and say, look, I mean, my God, I'm under attack. The devil is jumping all over me. You don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Because we're all living, breathing people, and the devil will check everybody out. He'll check everybody out. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says this. It says this: Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And so we see all these bad things happening, and this verse, we begin to understand who's responsible for that. He says here, he walks around seeking whom he may devour. He also says this, Peter said, the same kind of suffering that you're going through is being experienced by other people in the faith. And so the devil will try to tell you, try to get you off separate and try to isolate you and make you get you convinced that you're the only one. You're the only one that is so dumb that you can't make it. Or you're so weak that you can't resist him. Or you know, he has all kinds of lies to tell you, to try to convince you that you're the only one. But trouble, lots of people deal with trouble, deal with suffering, deal with afflictions, different things. They deal with, you know, if the Bible was being written today, they'd put COVID in there. But you know, but the devil is here for one reason, and that is to make things difficult for us and to try to cause bad things to happen to people. He is a mad devil. You say, well, I don't know. You know, I'm just being careful. I don't know. I just want to be careful. I don't want to make him mad. Listen. Don't be concerned about that. He's already mad. He hadn't had a sane thought in years. He really hadn't. He's mad. These verses show that the devil is the one that's causing these problems. I know it looks like your neighbor. I know it looks like your boss, but I want you to take another look. It's the devil behind that. And you need to realize we're not fighting against flesh and blood. The problem is not flesh and blood, but it is in the spirit realm. Somebody who's hiding behind your boss, somebody that's hiding behind your neighbor, somebody that's manipulating circumstances and things and people to do his will and to cause trouble. Come on now. Now you know this. But I'm not here tonight to try to give you a dissertation on the authority of the believer. I'm here to stir you up. You already know some of these things that I'm going to tell you tonight. I'm stirring you up because some people, the reason I'm doing this is because the Lord instructed me. Some people are just entirely too passive about the stuff that they've been dealing with. All right, okay. Let me see if I can work this over here. God said that there's a number of people that have been entirely too passive about the things they're going through. They've just been putting up with it. Say, well, I hope it'd get better tomorrow. Well, I hope so too. But we have more at our disposal than that. And so, now, and then you have other people. Now, let me come over to this side. We have other people. I'm not looking at you and pinpointing you, but we have other people, and you know people like this, who try to play around with the things of the world and the devil, and they have one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and they're like an old cow that's out there in the pasture, and they got good grass. Do you ever drive by a pasture and a cow's sticking his head through the fence trying to eat the grass in the ditch? My favorite thing to do is just drive as close as I can and beep the horn. Put them back in their place. You know what I'm saying? Just helping them out. Anyway, but some Christians are like that. They want to keep one foot where it's safe and the other foot out there and just kind of try to reach out, play around a little bit. And I want to tell you this. The first thing you need to know is that the devil has nothing good planned for you. He's not looking at you saying, oh, I see that you're a Christian. Oh, I'll leave you alone. Not. Those are things, you know, he doesn't look at you and say, oh, you're a Rhema student? Okay, I'll leave you alone. Those are things the devil never says. Isn't that right? And so, so we can't afford to play around with the devil and what he has. I'm going to say that again, because there's maybe some people in here that need to hear it again. We can't afford to play around with the devil and his things. You know, I'm amused at some of the stuff that people think is okay to be involved in. I mean, it's only got 5 minutes of bad stuff. The rest of the movie's good. But I can tell you what you're going to remember after the movie's over is the 5 minutes. Don't look at me like that. See, things like that stick to us. And if we're not careful, what we do is we allow those little things like that to come in, and then they make a bigger difference in our life than what we thought they would. Brother Sumrall said this in one of his writings. He said this. He said, there is no such thing as an idle thought. And so we've got to be careful what we allow to be planted into our mind. Because there's no such thing as an idle thought. You think about something long enough, it's going to bear fruit. It'll have an effect upon you. And if you're listening to the wrong things, if you're watching the wrong things, or, you know, just a little bit here, a little bit there, well, you're going to have some sketchy faith. You know? Like Peter, you know, he was believing God 1 minute, and then he was saying, oh, help me, when he started thinking. Well, his faith was a little sketchy. You know? Oh, you have sketchy faith. You know, so we can't afford to play around with it, can we? Come on, I need a bigger amen than that. I'll have to just stop and work on this point. But we can't afford to play around. I'm reminded of a guy I knew growing up. He was driving his little buggy, a little open buggy, you know, kind of thing, and horse and buggy and kind of and somewhere he had gotten a hold of a cigar. And you say, well, my goodness, what are you talking about? I know I got your attention right now, but he had gotten a hold of a cigar that his parents didn't know he had. And he knew he shouldn't have it, but he had it, but he didn't have anything to light it with. And so he finally figured out on that little buggy, he had some lights. So if he had to drive it after dark, you know, he had a little battery, 6-volt battery or 12-volt battery in the back. And so he figured out, he got himself a piece of wire. Have you ever taken a wire and arced it across and got some sparks? Well, he figured out to do that, and he still had the reins in his hands, and he got off the buggy, went back there, and he arced that wire across there, and it went, and it spooked the horse, and the horse took off running. Now, he got his cigar lit, but he went, the horse is taken off. He's not on the buggy. He's hanging on to the reins as best he can. And he's taking big, long steps. And about every other step, there's a puff of smoke coming out the top of his head. And the horse takes him about a quarter of a mile before he can get him stopped. He went on a ride he never intended to go. Because he was playing around with something he shouldn't have been playing around with. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. You play around with something you shouldn't be playing around with. The devil take you on a ride you never intended to go. Come on now. Now listen to me. You can't walk in victory playing around with the devil's things. Listen to me. He said, well, I just don't know. I just don't feel like I got enough power. I'm just so weak. I'm just so, you know, I'm just not much, you know. I just want you to know, listen to this. God has given you more than enough power to get the devil out of your life. He really has. He really has. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Everybody say all. And he says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. Is it Brother Yoder? I wish that were true in my life. Oh, Brother Yoder. I've read that several times, and I always wish, when I come to that, I wish it would be true. I just wish it would. And now listen to me. If it's not true, then just take it out of your Bible. You know? But the truth of the matter is, God is true and every man a liar. When it comes to the experiences in your life not matching what God said in His Word. I know I'm treading out the corn tonight, and you know, and I know you say amen better for Bill than you do me, but on the other hand, I'm here to stir you up. I don't know about you. I don't like some of the stuff I see. I don't like some of the stuff that knocks on my door. I don't like the feeling of waking up and the devil has crawled up on my back and he's messing around with me. Now get away from me in Jesus' name. We have authority and power. The devil say, you can't cast me out. Well, the only reason he can't is because you want to keep him. Oh, no. Okay. All right. Come on now. I'm just going to go get some counseling. And that's good, isn't it? That you're going to go get some help. But if you're not willing to close the door to some of these things, I want to tell you, you can counsel till the cows come home. And you may not be much further ahead. Amen? So this verse, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority. I give you the authority. Look at somebody and say, he gave you authority.
you.
It doesn't matter if you're a brand new Christian, God gave you authority. It doesn't matter if you've been beat down, broke, and you're looking up at the bottom of the barrel. God gave you authority. You just really don't know about it yet, or you just hadn't learned to walk in it yet. Tell somebody else, you got authority. See, you got the authority or the right, or you have been the one instructed to do something about the devil messing around in your life. You can't be like the guy that I was talking to about. I said, you know, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. So you've got problems. The devil's been the one been messing around your life. And he said, I got to deal with him. He said, I got to deal with him. If I leave him alone, he leaves me alone. Now, if you believe that, if you believe the devil will honor that deal, then I got a bridge to sell you out in the middle of the desert. I'm having fun tonight. I'm stirring myself up. I'm taking some land. I'm taking some territory. I'm telling you, we're causing the darkness to recede and the light to shine bright. Amen. Come on now. Well, I'm just waiting for God to do something. Well, he will when you step up and do what he said. He said you to do so. He gave you authority. He gave you power. You know, you have a... And sad commentaries in most churches, not necessarily this church, because I think we're about ready. We're ready if some devil shows up, you know. But you know, there's a lot of churches, if a devil shows up, that'd be a good way to empty the church building. You know? They don't know their authority. They don't know they got power. So we need to speak that name of Jesus. Use that name of Jesus. That's why the song tonight talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why? We're releasing our authority, exercising our authority over the devil. Come on now. And do like Jesus did. Quote the word. What does that do? It releases the power of God. He said, Brother Yoder, I'll tell you the truth about Brother Yoder. I just don't really feel like it. Well, you won't feel like it until you start doing it. That's usually the way it works. It's amazing what happens the moment you start doing what the word says. Your feelings will change. Your feelings will change. Feelings are not good leaders. They may be great followers, but they're not good leaders. Isn't that right? And so let's move on a little bit. See. You got to be aggressive about not letting the devil mess around with you. Years ago, I was working with my brothers. We had construction crew, and we had this one job. The insurance company hired us to fix the barn. We were out there working on the barn. He had some great big Charolais cattle. How many of you know what a Charolais cattle is? It's those white tan cattle that are huge. And so there was a bull there, about 2,000 pounds. And he didn't like us. And so we would make sure we have our hammer in hand and everything, because he would take steps towards us, and he would sling his head around and snot come out of his nose and, you know, and stomp his feet and, you know, flick his tail around. And you know, we put up with that for a day or two. Finally, I told my brothers, I said, I'm tired of this. They said, what you going to do? I said, I'll be back. Now, I want you to raise your right hand, and I want you to promise you won't send me a letter when I tell you what. Maybe I better not tell you what I did. Huh? I went out to the truck because I remembered what was in the glove box. We had some M70 firecrackers. And I got me a lighter and an M70 firecracker, and I start walked out back out there. I'm upset. I'm saying, this bull is not going to ruin our day. It's not going to hurt us. It's not going to keep us from getting the work done. And I got about as far as from me to William right there. About, what is that, 20 feet? Something like that. And he's kind of the bull's standing sideways, and he's slinging his head and snot's flying out of his nose, and he's stomping his feet, and he's just about ready to come at me. And so I lit the firecracker, and it has a fuse about that long. It's real short. And I just went like that, and it landed right under the bull. It's one of the most perfect things I ever did. And the moment it got under the bull, it went off. And the bull went straight up in the air. All 4 feet left its ground. The front 4 feet are going like this in midair. The tail's up in the air. When he came down on the ground, he was running wide open, bellowing. And he ran clear down to the other end of the pasture. And he stood in the pond looking up at the barn the rest of the day. He left us alone. Now, don't write me any letters. That bull left us alone that day. He left us alone. He stayed far away from us. That's how you got to treat the devil. You can't look at him and say, now, devil, you don't be so mean. You got to get aggressive with him. You got to tell him, get out in the name of Jesus. He said, don't say, how many of you have ever listened to somebody say the right things, but they're not believable? Devil, you got to leave now. How many of you know the devil's not going to believe that? Isn't that right? So you got to learn to be aggressive. You got to learn to stand in your authority. You got to learn to exercise your authority and follow the instructions that are in the Word of God. God told you to do something about it. He said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, he said, resist him. Resist him. Stand against him. Don't just sit down and say, well, whatever he wants to do, I guess it's just my lot in life. I guess there's and even worse, some religious people say, well, this is just a sovereign God who's decided what needs to happen. Well, then we need to take some of these verses out. We need to take this verse out, certainly because it tells us to resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, amen, stand against it. You say, well, Yoda, I tried that, but he didn't leave. Well, keep standing. Steadfast in the faith. Not just a moment of faith, but keep standing fast in faith. Don't let the devil talk you out of what God said would work in his word. Amen. Luke 10:19, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Ephesians 4:27. Nor give place to the devil. Don't give room to him. Don't allow any space for him to be there. Don't allow him any. Don't allow him to be in your home. Don't allow him. I suggest some of you need to go home and you need to open up the front door and you need to kick the devil out and say, out in the name of Jesus, you're no longer welcome here. You got to get tired of the way things are. Amen. And so another verse is James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, let me just share this with you. It's an interesting verse right there. He tells us, first of all, to submit to God. That means the word submit means to give control to God. to give control. I'm giving control to God. So, and then it says, resist the devil. That tells me, now listen to this, the degree of submission will determine the degree of resistance. That's why some people can speak the name of Jesus and nothing happens, and other people can speak the name of Jesus and a lot happens. It's because of the level of submission, the level of control. It's who they've learned to be yielded to is God Himself, following Him. Stay submitted. Stay submitted to God and His, to God's word and His ways. Don't go over here and mess around there and then come back to His word. And you know, keep speaking the name of Jesus against the devil. That name is higher than any other name. He may try to resist you, but you keep speaking the name of Jesus. Don't try to do it in your strength. Do it in what God gave you. The name of Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus. The Bible says here, He will flee from you. Now, if you resist Him in the name of Jesus, what will happen? What? Now, let's take it as some sections. Let's go over here and let's go. If you resist the devil in the name of Jesus, what will happen? What will he do? He will flee. Let's try these sections right in here. If you resist the devil, what is he going to do? Let's try this section over here. If you resist the devil in the name of Jesus, what will he do? Amen. He will flee. He will flee. He will flee. He will flee. He will take off like a rocket. I like what Brother Keith Moore said. The devil is so afraid of me. You need to know the devil's afraid of you. Amen. Keep saying what the word says. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed in the city and blessed in the country. You're blessed going in and blessed going out. You have overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You're more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. You have triumph in Christ. You have the victory, been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have authority over the devil and everything that he has, and nothing shall in any way, shape, or form hurt you. So when the devil comes to steal your stuff, you need to get up. You need to do something about that. Let me close with this. Years ago, I was a kid growing up on a farm, and in the middle of the night, a vehicle went past. My dad heard that vehicle stop about a quarter of a mile down the road. And so he got up to see what was going on. He was suspecting that something's going on. And he said, sure enough, he said, after a little bit, he was standing outside in the shadows. And he said, sure enough, up through the pasture came a man walking. He said he had two. Now, dad always had good dogs. And he had two dogs. One was a English Shepherd Collie cross. The other one was a rat terrier. And they worked together. One would get at the one end of whatever they're after, and the other would get at the other end. And they would take that. They'd take that whatever they're after apart. And so those dogs saw that man coming up through there. They didn't like that. They're ready to go, but Dad says, quiet. He wanted to see what the guy's going to do. Maybe he just needed help, you know. But no, the guy didn't come up to the house. He went out to the gas tank. he found a gas can, and he opened up and filled the gas can, and Dad just waited, watched him, and put the hose back up, and he got the can and started. He didn't come to the house. He started walking back towards the pasture, and my dad said, "That's enough." My dad told the dogs, "Sick him." And the dogs took off, and the man dropped the can, and he cleared that barbed wire fence amazingly. Went running down through the pasture with the dogs after him. See, you can't put up when the devil tries to steal your stuff. I'm telling you some kind of funny stories in one sense, but on the other hand, I'm trying to get a point across. Don't stop. Don't put up with what the devil. Don't let the devil knock on your door. Don't let him come in. Don't let him in the middle of the night wake up and say, I don't feel good. I guess I just need to. I guess I won't go to work tomorrow. No, say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, get out of here. Devil, take your sickness and go. Amen. Stand up with me if you would, please. You got to believe that Jesus defeated the devil at the cross for you. And he has given you that authority to walk in victory. His name, the name of Jesus. Decide today is the last day that the devil's going to run over you. Amen. Some of you need to make up your mind. This is the last night, day of torment and harassment. No more. You need to serve notice on the devil. You will not torment me anymore. You will not harass me in my thoughts anymore. I am free in the name of Jesus. Come on now. You just take your stance. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Don't give up until you see a difference. Don't give up until you see a difference. I said, don't give up until you see a difference. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these people. Bless these people. Help them to receive and to walk in the light of your word. Help them in every way to be all that they can be. And that, Father, help them to realize that you have given them authority in the name of Jesus. That tonight it is a time for them to take their stand against the works of darkness and declare that they shall walk in the blessings of God, the peace of God, the health that God has promised. The devil's not going to steal, kill, or destroy anything in their life anymore. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And in the morning, I thank you that you help these people that have taken this stand tonight. In the morning, they're going to exercise their authority with the name of Jesus. They're going to serve notice on the devil in the morning, before the devil ever gets started. And at noontime, they're going to serve notice on the devil and say, "You stay away. I know you're not here, but I'm just letting you know I'm aware that you'd like to get in, but I'm not going to open the door for you. I'm not going to give you any room, not going to give you any space. I'm not going to wait for you to show up. I'm telling you that you're out of here and stay out of here. God is here in Jesus' name." And then what you need to do is get busy worshiping God and staying full of the word and not let the devil give God control over your life. And then you'll see the victory. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord or Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, you say, "I am tired of this the devil running my life. I need to rededicate my life." Would you simply slip up your hand and say, "I want prayer tonight"? Anybody in the room that would do that, that would say, "I need Jesus. I've never accepted Christ, or I want to rededicate my life. I'm tired of the way the devil's been messing with me." Anybody at all? Just looking quickly. Those of you that are watching online, if you're in that kind of condition where you don't know Jesus, or you need to rededicate your life, you're tired of what the devil's been doing in your life, then you need to pray a prayer simply like this. And I'm going to ask the congregation to pray this prayer, and you follow along, and you pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I commit my life to you again. I receive Christ as my Savior. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you that I'm a child of God, that God is my Father. I'm a member in that family of God, and I now have authority. I now have the name of Jesus, and I have victory over the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant that and you've committed your life to Christ, then just let us know at partnerservice@rhema.org. Send us an email. Let us know what happened in your life. And we know God has good things in store for you. Amen. God bless you. Don't shake hands, but wave at somebody and let them know that you got victory in Jesus' name.